prophetic timetable, where are we? We're in this place of fire. More altars and more bonfires and more other things to get rid of the stuff that God wants to remove, the stumbling blocks and the idols and the various things that are in our lives. Romans 12:1. For those who are visitors, obviously you're in session 9, so sorry. Romans 12:1. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, and do not be conformed to this world, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. And it's our business to present ourselves to God. It's his business to do the not conforming and the transforming and the renewing. We just have to do the presenting. But that presenting is obviously not easy. So where are the altars in which we present ourselves? They're in the heavenly realms. Brazen altar in the court through the way of the cross, altar of incense in the holy place through the veil of the truth, and ultimately through that into a further place through the life into the presence of God where the ark is. So we're in the place where we're learning the protocols of entry as living sacrifices. So we're learning to deny ourselves and lose our lives by coming to the cross, to present ourselves for skinning, what they did to the sacrifice, and then they split the sacrifice open, which is where we are right now in this teaching, revealing our hearts, thoughts and intentions of our hearts. Picture of the tabernacle, the way, the truth and the life, and a picture of the heavenly realms with the outer court, inner court, holy place, holy holies, all those things there where the presence of God is, but beyond that is the person of God, and that's where God wants us to be. And in that place, from Zechariah 3, verse 6 and 7, we know there's a process. We walk in his ways as a servant, bondservant, and a steward, and a friend here in this realm of the kingdom of the earth. We administer his laws as a lord in the kingdom of God, in the realm of heaven, in the realm of government. We judge our household, our house, as a lord in the realm of his domain, in the kingdom of heaven. And then we judge the courts as a king, in the realm of his abode in heaven itself, where we're seated with him in heavenly places. And then beyond that, we have access to stand in the place of his domain in the heaven of heavens as sons. And we've gone through that a lot over a process. Okay. Last week we looked at this. Let's give ourselves a checkup. What am I saying? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What am I doing? Examine ourselves and ask God to examine us. The difference is the deception we're living in. Question is whether we're willing to own that and be honest about where we are to allow God to change and transform us. We looked at this last week. Trading is meeting our own needs. The trading routes come through the pathway of the source of all self, which is basically us meeting our own needs through our own ways. And that is what Satan offered to Adam and Eve through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we're still following the same pathway if we're trading using our own methods to meet the needs that God has prepared for us. What are those needs? Acceptance and love. Affection, value, worth, approval, significance, affirmation, identity and purpose, security, safety and provision. God wants us to have all those desires that he's placed in our hearts and have all those needs met through our relationship with him. Any attempt to use another source or other methods is trading on demonic trading floors. And when we trade, we get something back that we don't like. On that picture, the tree, everything looked nice and shiny, but on the inside is death. Because the enemy wouldn't offer us something that didn't look good. Otherwise, we would be stupid to take it. So he offers us things that look good. They look shiny, not sparkly, ladies. It's all right. You're okay with sparkly. Shiny things look good to us, but they produce death. We looked last week, these are the 7 trading floors that we need to look at and specifically go into. Now, before I actually go into each one of them and give you some examples of how we trade on those floors, I need to first explain that we have something in our own hearts that leads us to that. When Adam and Eve traded with Satan and gave their DNA for position and for power to be like God and to have rationalism and humanism, all that stuff created something that was passed on to everybody in Adam. And we'll look at more about that next week when we look at, well, possibly next week, when we look at transgression, sin, and iniquity. But actually, we need to know that that was passed on to us. So there's a story in Nehemiah chapter 13 about Tobiah the Ammonite. Verse 1 says, "No Ammonite or Moabite should ever enter the assembly of God." Prior to this, Eliashib, the priest, who was appointed over the chambers of the house of God. Now you can look at this in lots of different senses. You could look at this in the church globally, worldwide. You could look at it in church locally. You can look at it into us being the house of God in our own life. So I want to look at it more in our own life. And what happened was this guy was the priest. He was appointed over the house of God. Let's say it's appointed over our own life, being related to Tobiah. Now, no priest of God should ever have been related to Tobiah. How was he related to Tobiah? Because he'd given his daughter to Tobiah for position. So he had given something to Tobiah and entered into a relationship with him. And therefore, he then prepared a large room for Tobiah in the temple of God, where formerly they put the grain offerings, the frankincense, the utensils, tithes of the grain, wine and oil, prescribed for the Levites, singers, gatekeepers, and the contributions for the priests. So this room was where the resources of God was for glory to go to God through worship, the whole temple. And yet there was a foreigner living in that place, in that room. So in our own lives, what has in our, maybe our generational line or in our own life, what have we made an agreement with to meet our needs that is actually a trading floor in our own hearts? Because we need to deal with that. And when Nehemiah came in verse 7, "I came to Jerusalem and learned about the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah by preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God. It was very displeasing to me, so I threw out all Tobiah's household goods out of the room." When you recognize there's something in your heart, when you recognize that we have to deal with it, and we have to get rid of it, and we have to throw it out. If we don't, we're going to be in trouble. Now, not only did Eliashib make an agreement with Tobiah, he also made an agreement with Sanballat, who was another foreigner who was looking to stop them rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Verse 28, "Even one of the sons of Jehoiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was the son-in-law of Sanballat." So they had given their children away into bondage with these wrong, unholy alliances. Now we need to ask, what unholy alliances of our generations or have we made to meet our own needs? Where we have sold our souls or our inheritance? And doesn't sound very nice and isn't very nice. These become a trading floor in our own hearts to meet our own needs through the pathway of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's not good. It's a treasure chamber in our hearts. What did Jesus say? Where our treasure is, our heart is. So what is in the treasure chamber of our heart? Stuff that we have taken for ourselves or stuff that's there to bring glory to God. All the treasure should be for worship and used for the purposes of God's kingdom and for his glory. Robbing God by taking treasure for ourselves to meet our own needs is negative trading. Whether we take glory, honor, position, credit, whenever it's about ego and it's about me, selfishness, self-centeredness, whenever we are not seeking first God's kingdom, we're trading for ourselves. We are the gods of our own life, which is what Adam and Eve were offered by Satan, to become gods of their own life, to rule their own life, to do it in their own way. It will always lead to death and destruction, always. But we often fall into the trap because of the things that are patterns that have been built up in our lives and the things we've done to meet our own needs when we were separated from God. When we are returned to God, God needs us to deal with these things. That's why he's taken us deeper to see what are the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. And then we'll go deeper and look at what is the division of bone and marrow. Esau traded his birthright for a bowl of stew. Sounds really stupid thing to do, doesn't it? But actually, the story is there because actually we do it often. We trade on things today instead of the things that are coming tomorrow. And lots of us are driven by causes from our own brokenness, which of which there is no eternal reward, because they're there to make us feel better. Think about that when it comes to ministry and different things. Who are we doing it for? The approval of man is temporal and not eternal. Jesus talked a lot about that, and I'll read it in a minute. Jesus challenged the motives of our good works. What are they there for? Who are they seeking to meet the need of? Matthew 6:19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, when thieves do not break in or steal, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And it's a serious question to ask. Where is our treasure and where is our heart? Matthew 6:1, beware practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them, otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 6:2, when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. Verse 5, when you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and on the street corners, so they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. See, there's nothing wrong in praying. There's nothing wrong in giving. But what's the motive of our heart behind it? Verse 16, whenever you fast, nothing wrong with fasting. Really isn't, honestly. Do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men. When they are fasting, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Now these are challenging things that Jesus did and spoke, because actually they're issues that we have to look at in our own hearts. Verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That is the purpose of anything we do for God. It has to be for him and not for us. Jesus made a new standard based not on external adherence, but on heart motives. Matthew 5:20, I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Our righteousness cannot be an external thing that we do before people so people see us. It has to be an internal motive of our heart to bring glory to God. Because if it doesn't bring glory to God, then actually it's not righteousness at all. It's self-righteousness, which again we will use to make us feel and appear better. Matthew 5:21. Jesus goes into a series of things where he takes where it was external, now it's internal, at a higher standard and a higher level. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. Whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says to you, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Really challenging scripture. But it's all to do with external and internal motive. Verse 27, you have heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her, and actually you could say looks at a man with lust, so the ladies aren't left out of that one, has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now it's no longer an external, it's an internal. Verse 43, you have heard it said you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We have to actually go deeper into dealing with the motives of our heart and actually practically outwork it. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. So those are the things that get offered to us to meet our own needs. We get the same offers today through familiar spirits that are assigned to our lives. Some of those are generational in nature. The little whispers, the little things that try and lead us astray, the little things that take us down a wrong path. They whisper to us because of weak areas in our life that we've succumbed to and patterns that are there that we need to deal with. So let's look at the whole issue of trading and what the trading things are. Now, when I went through this, I was listening to Ian Clayton teach on this. He took 8 months to go through this. I so wish I had 8 months to go through it. because I decided that I couldn't teach it to you until I'd gone through each of these training floors and sought God in my own life. So I went through 7 training floors in a month. And I tell you, it was the hardest thing I've probably ever done. I felt absolutely wrecked by it. Now, some of you wouldn't have been aware of that, but actually, I had to own and deal with all the things that are in my heart to do with meeting my own needs in my own way. The first one was Tyre, the king of Tyre, robbed God's temple and used the gold to build a trading city. It became the base of Phoenician trading. Massive tradings around the world. The king of Tyre ransacked what should have been for God and used it to build his own thing. Jezebel was the daughter of Ikbal, the king of Tyre. She married the king of Israel to control the religious systems. Athaliah was Jezebel's daughter or sister-in-law, depending on what source you read, married the king of Judah and tried to control the future seed by killing all the possible heirs and using the political system to usurp authority. She was the only queen of Judah ever. But she did it by manipulating things to have control. They were all Baal worshippers in idolatry, fertility stuff, sensuality, child sacrifice, you name it, they were in it. Another trading floor, Cain, son of Satan, serpent seed who murdered Abel, his half-brother, because of jealousy, because of the nature that he got from Satan. Delilah, seduction, pleasure, gratification that robs our destiny. Leviathan, the twister, the demonic creature of deception, lies, and gossip. Apollyon, a fallen angel that opposes preaching of the gospel. Those are the floors. How do we operate on it? Now, I went through all this, each one, asking God to show me in my whole life where I'd trading on any of these floors. And he showed me in detail, and it was really emotionally, really difficult to deal with it. But I did deal with it. That's just a starting point. Then you've got to outwork it. Because then you need to ask God to show you through your conscience not to go down that route again. It's easy to recognize something you've done in the past. Actually, that's got to change what we do in the present. So it's much harder to take captive the thoughts to recognize the whispers before you get around a pathway. And I've actually found that a lot of the things I'm going to share with you, either I've done or God's shown me, which he's now challenging me, through circumstances that come up, where those were the things I would go. And those are the routes I would naturally take because they were patterns that had been there in my life, which now I have to go a different way. So first thing, James 3:15, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above. It's earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. So whatever the motives of my heart is through selfish ambition, self, to meet my own needs, there is disorder and every evil thing. Jesus said it this way, the flesh profits nothing. Nothing has in the flesh has any value to God whatsoever and will only bring about death and destruction and disorder. What wisdom influences, motivates and directs our decisions? This is what we're looking at. Whenever we seek to use our own knowledge as opposed to God's, we are falsely trading. Whenever we use a substitute instead of God's provision, we are falsely trading. Whenever the motives of our hearts are selfish, we are falsely trading. That gives access to the demonic world to influence us and affect us and to take away our inheritance and what God has called us to do. Tyre, money, mammon, taken from God and used for its own purposes. Operating from a poverty mentality is trading on a negative trading floor of Tyre. Whenever I say I don't have enough or I want more, I'm not trusting in God's provision. Whenever I buy today and pay tomorrow, I'm trading negatively. I'm in debt and slavery. Not bringing a full tithe into the church and not giving offerings when God directs is negatively trading. For me, when I first understood the whole thing of tithing, it was a challenge to where we were in our finances. This was a long time ago. But I decided the best way of doing it was I would tithe my net income rather than my gross income. So I was not using the first fruits for God. I was using what I thought with a compromised solution, falsely trading. But also, because I was in a Brethren church at the time and I didn't really trust them to do what I thought they should do with the money I was going to give, I decided that I wouldn't give it to them. I'd stick it in account and I would determine where it went. So I used to give it to different missionary things, different this, different that and the other. God showed me completely negative trading, because I'm responsible to give. It's God's responsibility what he does with it. All this was negative trading. Whenever you rob God to meet your own needs, negative trading. Stealing, cheating, falsifying claims, tax dodging, not working your full hours, giving your best is negatively trading, because you're using the things that you should be giving to God to bring to yourself in terms of finances. Gambling, trusting to luck, not God, falsely trading. Materialism, using things to meet a spiritual or emotional need is falsely trading. Now, this stuff doesn't make very pleasant reading, because actually it's going to challenge the things in our own life. Please don't shut down and think, I don't want to listen to this. Because if you do, God will put you in a situation where he'll squeeze it to the top anyway. Because that's where we are right now. Everything's coming to the surface. Using clothes, chocolate, shoes or handbags. Materialism, potentially. If it's the wrong motive of your heart. Nothing wrong with chocolate, shoes, all that stuff. If it's not coming from a wrong motive, looking to meet a material thing for a spiritual need. Cars, boats, toys, boys' toys, houses and even sex can be materialism, looking for something to meet a spiritual need. So I didn't leave the guys out there. TV, music, books, family, work can all be used to meet a need in us. All false trading. Taking gold from God's temple to build our own trading system. And that's just the first one. Just the first one. Thought I'd start off with that one. Next one, Jezebel. Using control, manipulation, witchcraft, and domination. Of course, none of us do that, do we? Let's see, shall we? Whenever you've used your emotions to get your own way, Jezebel trading. Whenever you've been controlled by religious systems of legalism and dead works, negative trading. Controlled by the political system of church life with an offer of future position for silence or cooperation. I bought into this big time in the church I was in Cornwall. I was manipulated to, and I accepted that manipulation because there was an offer of full-time employment in the church. And often there is an offer of something within the church that keeps you silent or cooperates when you know it's not right. And I should have said some things down there that I never did. You can buy into this. Whenever you've nagged to get your own way, whenever you've used sexual wiles to get your own way, whenever you've used a substance to alter your mood. Pharmakia is the Greek word for drug and witchcraft. It's where we get drugs, but it literally means witchcraft, controlling ourselves. So whenever you've used a substance to mask or blot something out, trading with Jezebel. Whenever you've used blackmail of any sort, trading with Jezebel. Whenever you accepted being manipulated for acceptance. So you know you're being manipulated, but you've accepted it because it makes you feel accepted, trading with Jezebel. Now, Athaliah. This one, it was Uneth, was she. Most people don't recognize it. She had a lot of influence and did a lot of nasty things. She was after our kingly seed and our future inheritance in the kingdom. So whenever we say, I'm not good enough and I can't do this based on my past, I'm trading on that floor. Because I'm not coming from God's perspective and what God says about me now. But I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. So whenever I sacrifice and say, I can't do it, that's what I'm doing. Whenever you don't receive affirmation because of your past life, you're negatively trading. Because God wants you to be affirmed. Now, when we receive affirmation from men, what do we do with it? Go and trade it back to God. Say, God, it's all about you, not me. Some of us find it really difficult to be affirmed because of our past, we're being robbed. Whenever you trade the present for the future through sin, you're negatively trading. Instant gratification never comes without a long-term reward or habit. Whenever you submit to familiar spirits in agreement with their lies about your identity, you're trading on Athaliah's floor. And how many times do we do that? We listen to the whispers about who we are and our identity, and we let it rob us of the truth of who God says we are. Whenever you don't accept sonship or God's fatherhood, it's trading on this floor. Jeremiah 20:10 is a whole thing about familiar spirits. I've heard the whispering of many, terror on every side, denounce him. Lest denounce him. All my familiars watching for my fall, perhaps he will be deceived so that we may prevail against him and take our revenge on him. That is what demons do. They're out to rob, kill and destroy. And they will do it by bringing us down, by getting us to falsely trade. Whenever you accept instant gratification rather than a future blessing, where just as Esau sold his birthright for a thing of porridge, we're trading on Athaliah's floor and we're losing our future inheritance and sometimes for our family inheritance as well to come. Familiars defame your identity and rob you of authority. Whole thing of Masonic Freemasonry, they use a checkerboard of trading for future seed. Because all the things that people, when they go into Freemasonry, declare, they make a promise of influence and they bring family curses of sickness and other things onto their life. All trading. Delilah. It's an interesting one. The seducer that causes us to lust in our heart, offers to meet our emotional needs through self-gratification, through our mind, sometimes through living in fantasy worlds, through our heart, through patterns of belief, to gain acceptance and approval and affirmation. Lust, after a romanticized image, Mills and Boone. Actually, what it does, it creates an image of a man that in your head, not I'm talking about everything, but I'm talking about looking at your heart. Can it do that? Is it being used for that? Men, lusting after an eroticized image. What is that? Pornography. Fantasies, gratification without relationship and responsibility. That is what Delilah offers to meet our needs. That's why most men get into pornography, because it's an easy way to meet an instant need and it brings bondage and affliction and guilt and shame. Sex without love to meet our own needs is trading with Delilah. Sex because you need to be needed. I'm being really graphic because actually we need to be. If you use sex because you need to be needed, you've been trading with Delilah. All sex outside of marriage is trading that way. Some sex within marriage is also trading that way. Enticement to lust after anything that offers self-gratification is trading with Delilah. Money, power, position, influence. Again, what Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before men because of the attitude of heart. Cain was a murderer. He had anger in his heart and about justifying his behavior. Whenever we hold anger, resentment, or bitterness in our hearts, we are trading on that floor and we're murdering a relationship. That's what it does. Whenever we assassinate someone's character to justify ourselves through innuendo or insinuations, we are trading on Cain's floor. Whenever we make accusations motivated by jealousy or fear, we're trading. Whenever we don't forgive and release, whenever we don't follow correct protocol to go and deal with a conflict, whenever we don't go and confront in love, whenever we have something against someone and talk to someone else about it, whenever you don't love your wife by giving yourself up for her, you're murdering the relationship. Whenever you don't honor your husband by respecting him, murdering the relationship. Because the enemy will use all these things to rob us of the true things that God wants us to have. Whenever we don't act as our brother's keeper, we are murdering the relationship. Whenever we take pleasure in someone else's sin to make us feel better, we're murdering the relationship. Leviathan, the twister, perverter of truth with gossip. Whenever you lie to make others think better of you, you're looking for the approval of men, you're negatively trading. Now I know some of this is like, oh, this is really hard, isn't it? Now you can imagine I went through all this in all the areas of my life, and I had to be really honest and ruthless, and I hated what I saw, what God showed me. Because he showed me a whole lot of things from childhood onwards where I bought into the things that had been offered my father, and offered his father, who I don't know, and other there, and also other things. It was really, really emotionally difficult. But actually, if we're going to go into the greater realms of God's truth, where he wants us to go into his glory, we can't go into his glory with this stuff in our life. because we will be destroyed by it. Whenever you exaggerate to give yourself a better appearance, trading with Leviathan. Whenever you deceive by telling a half-truth, trading with Leviathan. Gossip for self-promotion or advantage. Using information as a source of power to get acceptance or recognition. Cheating at tests, exams to appear better than you are. Anything we do to fit in and be accepted. Coming from the need to be accepted is trading on this stuff and will get us into bondage. Whenever you withhold truth to give yourself an advantage. Whenever you try and impress people. Whenever you act falsely or wear a mask to get people to like you. It's horrible stuff, but I guess most of us have done this sort of thing or still doing it. Facebook trading. Now, for those of you who use Facebook, I don't. Nothing wrong with Facebook in principle, because a lot of good things can be used to get promotion of things and knowledge out there, okay? But you need to know that whatever you upload belongs to them and it's never ever deleted. Even when you take it off your page, it's stored and they are getting bigger and bigger storage systems. It's never deleted because it can be used in the future. So when the world sees your attitudes, fears and anxieties, you are displaying the atmosphere to them that's around your life. That can be a very positive thing or a very negative thing. Most of what I've seen is quite often negative. You know, have I seen it? Well, I've looked at Deb's page occasionally. Some of the things that are said create an atmosphere. What does that atmosphere do? Literally, you are multiplying that atmosphere with every wall and friend it appears on. I'm not stalking you. I'm just asking you to realize what you may be doing if you present something negative about how you're feeling and how you're thinking in that environment. Because literally, that atmosphere draws the spirit world to it. When we have an atmosphere of negativity around our life, the enemy draws to it, like blood draws sharks in the water. Demonic spirits come around us when we carry an atmosphere of anger, resentment, bitterness, anything. Fear draws it to it. Facebook is a massive thing that can draw things. Now, I'm not saying something against Facebook in itself. What I'm saying is, be very careful how you use it. Because you can use it, and in using it, actually you are giving the enemy access to come around your life and destroy you. Apollyon, last one. Destroyer of our inheritance and life to hinder the gospel. Whenever we've refused to share the gospel, we're trading with Apollyon. When you get that little heart pumping, you need to go and share with someone and you don't. You've traded with Apollyon. Whenever we preach false gospels, whenever we've been involved with religious cults, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons and others, that's what we're wanting to be into. Whenever we've been ruled by fear and embarrassment and we've not shared with people. Whenever we've shared a cheap gospel or a salvation message, what I mean by that is, whenever we've not pointed out the cost of discipleship because it's more palatable and we've made it easier because of fear, we're negatively trading. Whenever we've watered down the gospel, whenever we've let our testimony be destroyed by sin and have lost confidence in sharing the gospel, because that's what the enemy wants us to do, to feel I'm not worthy to share the truth. And how many times has the enemy robbed us of the opportunity of sharing the gospel with someone because we felt bad about ourselves? Whenever we felt hypocritical and did not share the gospel, whenever we've compromised and not shared, we are trading with Apollyon. Ezekiel 36:6. If the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and a sword comes and takes a person from them, he's taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. It's a very serious scripture when it comes to sharing the gospel with people. If we have an opportunity and God wants us to do it and we don't do it, the blood of that person may be required at our hands. I don't want to get to heaven and have to deal with that. So it's a challenge. Okay, what do we do with it? Let's get to the positive side. Having hit you with a whole load of stuff, and I'd encourage you to go back, look at this stuff yourself. Some of this might not apply with you at all. That's fine. If it doesn't, no problem. Just find the stuff that does. Because I guarantee you will have been trading negatively somewhere. Present yourself for examination. And examine yourself regularly. Ask God. and look at yourself. Be ruthlessly honest about your past. Don't cover up. Pretend. It's really horrible to face horrible things we've done. But the reality is, unless we do, we'll never actually be free of them. Remember, God loves you. Whole picture today of the love of God coming down and providing a canopy over us was so that that canopy can give us a safe place to deal with these things. I know it's not easy. Having me done it and shared it with you, it's going to make it easier for you. Having Ian Clayton did it and sharing it with me made it easier for me. Although it's still really difficult. I won't be fooling you. Own up to your past trading and motives. Confess your trading as sin and seek revelation about family trading that may influence you. And we'll talk more about that when we look at the whole thing of iniquity. Use that whole diagram and that method of evaluating reactions and actions and heart mindsets to deal with these things. Okay, use the mobile court. This is the most effective way of dealing with negative trading. Use the court system in heaven. Accept the accusation and receive God's judgment for you and your family for the trading you've done. Repent and renounce false trading. Be separated from it. Have the power over it in your life. Invite God to activate reverence and the fear of God, spiritual gates, so that your conscience will be activated. Often, I guarantee, as you're going in this process and you start to recognize it, you will catch yourself going down the route towards negative trading. Now, the easier to catch it before you get to the end, the better. But ultimately, you want to get so that your conscience directs you not to do it in the first place. And then once you've dealt with that, you get to a point where it's no longer even an option for you, but it takes time to develop that. All I've done in my own life is now identified all these things, repented and renounced of them, and now I'm in the process of God showing me every day, don't do that, and don't go down that route. Or, actually, sorry, God, I went down that route, I need to repent. Because, actually, I've made some mistakes. And, actually, I've been caught, found out, and thought, actually, yeah, that was wrong. I traded wrongly in doing that, and I've had to repent. But it's a process of renewing the mind so that we can be transformed into the image of Jesus. So, if you want to do that, take a step, stand. So, like we've done recently, to take a step forward. We're going to go into that court and just use a very simple prayer to be able to deal with any negative trading stuff. Use this as a basis for dealing with it on a daily basis and as God shows you. So I will try and speak slower so that we can say this together. And as we do it, let's do it. So Father, I thank you that you love me and your kingdom is based on righteousness and justice. By faith, I step into the court of accusation. I face my accusers and I accept and agree that I have wrongly traded. I accept that I've followed the pathway of the knowledge of good and evil. I accept that I've been influenced and motivated by earthly, natural, and demonic wisdom. I stand here representing myself and my forefathers, identifying with them. I repent of and renounce all false trading for myself and my forefathers. I receive the judgment of God and I am justified and made righteous through my advocate, Jesus. I release the judgment of God against all my adversaries and accusers. I receive a mandate to be separated from all false trading. I step back into this realm with the authority to identify and reject all the demonic, natural, and earthly influences and motives. I choose to be identified as your son, walking in the light, following heavenly wisdom on the earth. I choose to give you all the glory. Amen? Use that and just seek God and ask him to show you, because when our hearts' motives get sorted out, we're in a place of entering deeper into the things of God. And to act not just as lords, but kings and sons in God's kingdom to fulfill your identity and all your destiny in God. Amen? If you do need someone to pray with you for anything, healing, and anything that was shared earlier about those burdens letting go, please feel free to come so that the guys can pray with you at the front.
So can I just share something? This is not to bring condemnation, because it's like, you know, looking at those things up there, we're probably all like, oh my word, I'm going to sink through the floor and like, where on earth do I start? God is a good God. He loves us. He's for you. He loves you. It's just about coming into life and freedom. And what I don't want is for people to go, I know looking at this, we have to be honest, and it doesn't feel very nice because it's not very nice, is it? But actually, the Holy Spirit never brings condemnation. He brings conviction, and conviction leads to life. So I just want to encourage you in it. Whatever God may show you and stir you, God is with you, and there is hope for change.